And my family was the most religious family, very much religious family. And my mother was a member of this Native American church. And I've been a lifelong member of also of this same church. When I was about four, my mother would take me inside of the teepees on these Native American church services. But at that time, I was just in there to look around and see what I could hear. It never dawned upon me to pray, you know. So when my mother passed away, well, I went inside of one of these Native American churches again. I was so saddened by her passing, it was a good many years before I went back into the church. And it dawned upon me, well, I'm the one that has to pray now for my family. My mother is gone. And my grandfather, John Wilson, brought this peyote to the Delawares and the Osages and the Quapaws. And they said he was obsessed with the moon, so they called him Moonhead Wilson. So our church, as they call the Big Moon Church, there's two versions of this Native American church, the Little Moon and the Big Moon Church. And I belong to the Big Moon version of this church. We all use the same thing. We all pray to the same Creator. And the only difference is the rules and the moon. In the Little Moon Church, there's a small area of clay made like a moon. And over here is the fire. And they put the peyote chief in the center of this moon. And they have their staff and their drum and their feathered prayer drum is what we call it. And these songs that we sing in this Native American church, they have words in them, prayer words. We're appealing to the Creator to look down upon us and bless us. And in our Big Moon songs, it's all Delaware words in there because we've talked with the Osage people and they told us that they got all of their songs from the Delaware people. And when we sing these prayer songs, there's Delaware words in these songs. The Little Moon version, going back to that, they dismiss around daylight. But we go in to the Big Moon people. We go inside of the roundhouse or the teepee before the sun goes down. And we stay there the entire night until high noon. Then the services are over. And after the noontime hour comes, well, we all file out to use the cedar first. And that's a purification, we call, using the cedar. At midnight, we use the cedar and cleanse ourselves so we'll have new thoughts and a new mind, so to speak. So after this morning time comes, we burn cedar again, and then we all file out. And if it's a nice day, much like the Catholic priests do, they take out the staff if it's a good day. And we all line up, and we face the east, and we silently pray and give thanks to the Creator for the new day. So then we all go to dinner, a midday meal, and it's usually from 50 to 75 people that attends these meetings. And so at the end of this meal, well, that's a dismissal. That's the end.
Are these once a month?
Just any time. We usually have, I'm speaking of the Big Moon version now, of which I'm a member. We have these meetings in case there's someone ill, and we want to pray for the sick person. And then seasonal, too, we give thanks for the springtime. And if it's autumn like now, we give thanks that we live through the summer. And we pray that way. Mm-hmm. And when I was a young woman, I'd stay in these meetings all night. And I'd come out and cook for about 50 to 75 people. Of course, my husband helped me a lot. He'd attend to the outside fires. But now I've reached that point where I'm physically unable to do that much cooking for that many people. So that's about it without going into it. I'm going to tell you some details about the goings-on in there. We have water inside of our meetings, but the Little Moons, they have midnight where the fireman brings in the water. But our way, the big man version, the water is right here. We can drink any time we want to.
And that's all you take during that time?
Well, we eat, this, we eat this herb. And there's a huge dome-like thing all about like so in our version. And this represents the sun. And there's marks down this dome-like affair. And there's a small heart and on top.
Mm-hmm.
As well as at the altar. There's a little heart there between the altar and the fireplace. And when I do my bead work, I like to use these little hearts. And sometimes I have silversmiths that make me little heart earrings and little heart brooches with the cross down. That's the symbol of our church.
And do you fast before you serve?
No.
There's no fasting.
There are certain foods that I wouldn't recommend for people to eat before we go in. For example, I made the mistake once and ate some sauerkraut and weenies.
And yeah, I would think coyote would not go well with that.
And if you're taking medication of any kind, well, leave that off. Like I take heart pills and insulin. You leave all those off until the next day, then you can resume your medication.
Mm-hmm.
What is the role of the cedar?
That's we think very highly of cedar. That's used in there for purification and cleansing. And right now I've got
smoke. The smoke of it?
Yeah, the smoke. Midnight we all get up. Mama put cedar on this fire. We all get up and bless ourselves, we call it the cedar smoke. We think that cleanses our minds and our thoughts, where we have good thoughts. And there's lots of things that men have dismissed before they attempt to live this holy life. That's what my uncles told me when I was a young woman. They said, now you're going to eat the Native American church way. Said, there's a lot of things that you must do that you formerly did do. And for example, see, control your temper. If you've got a bad temper, control your temper. Talk to people in a good way, as if you're going to sin for the last time. So I've adopted that method throughout my life. And there's only one thing that I dismissed, go in with, and that's smoking cigarettes. I still smoke cigarettes. And of course they say that you don't drink. Of course I don't drink, but they tell the men, now you stop all your drinking, all of your bad habits, follow the ways of the Creator. And that's the way that I was taught to do when I was really young. We use this cedar in a lot of ways. I brought my cedar back with me. I thought at some time I may have opportunity to burn some somewhere.
Is it the bark of it?
No, it's the little needle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a green, you know. And all that work, they pray, most all of them, the older ones, we pray with the cedar, you know what I mean? And we put it in the fire, and we feel that what we appeal to the Creator for, where our request would be granted through the smoke of growing up to where the Creator lives, and it takes our message to Him. That's our goal. So we think very, very much of people.
Is there any of the Lenape ritual of religion that is prior to the coyote? That is the Delaware who lived around here did not have the coyote religion.
No, that came in and sometime in the middle of 1800.
Yeah.
And my grandfather brought that from the Western tribe, Southwestern tribe. We didn't know anything about it until we brought it here to us.
But are any of the older customs still practiced?
Not anymore. We only have two ceremonies I call left, and that's the name-giving ceremony. And we have still another that's still going, and that's the, I know what it is in Delaware, but I guess the nearest I could get to it in English would be, it's something like a dedication, where you bless this building, and we receive it. And you appeal to the four, we call Manitoua, the spirit, the four cardinal directions. It's sort of an appeasement thing and we use tobacco and smoke.
Is that a special tobacco? I know the Seneca do not use ordinary commercial full-grown tobacco. They grow their own special
tobacco. We call it Lenny Chanka. That's the name for what we call Indian tobacco. And that is what we're supposed to use. But since no one grows that in my area anymore, we tried to grow some. My nephew tried to grow some. But the hot weather, you know, killed it. But that is what is really used. But now we have to substitute many things. Like in these name giving. We used to give, you know, hearts and things like that. And we give our gifts at the name giving, but now we're becoming so pitiful, we make substitutions, cloth and things. This skin is pretty hard to find, around especially Indian tanks. We have to get commercial tan, deer skin.
Well, what do you use to tan?
Well, I used to tan skins. My husband and I tanned a deer hide not too long ago. But I'm getting up that age now where it's pretty hard to do. And it takes a long time. Mm-hmm. Years ago, when my mother was living, we lived next to a running water. And she'd take that deer hide down to the stream and tie it to the roots of a tree, where this fresh water constantly ran over this deer skin. And you go down and see if that hide is ready to slip like this.
Mm-hmm.
And now where we live, you have to use tubs and it gets kind of odorous.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very hard
thing. How long did it take for that to come loose, for the fur to come loose?
Oh, I'd say about a couple of days, 2 days. And when that's off, well, then you submerge this hide in the brain. And then you work it like this with your hand. So sort of like I say, unpleasant. You have to work it like this. And then you stretch it out. Then you take your scraper. You don't scrape too hard because you'll make it too thin.
Uh-huh. Or go through.
Uh-huh. Then after that, you build a hole in the ground about like so. You use corn cobs, is what we use, to smoke it to this color.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to watch it. You can't leave it. And you turn this skin constantly until you get your desired color.
Could you tell us about your father?
My father was born near what is now Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, October 20th, 1867. And when he was a small boy, his parents passed on. And his aunt then took him to a mission school somewhere about 100 miles east of where we live now in Oklahoma. And of course they traveled in a wagon, and his aunt and took his sister and he to the school. Well, it was a strange place to him, of course, but a lot of the Indian kids were sent there. So when he got to the school, they cut his hair. He had long hair. And they took his earrings off. He had earrings. And there were some more Delaware boys there. And they'd meet with each other and try to talk Delaware, you know, and not their language. Well, he was seized by the principal, severely shaken and punished, made to go to sleep without supper for talking his own language. And I asked my dad, I said, well, what did you have for supper? Oh, he said, we had a slice of bread and a cup of tea. So he was made to go into bed without his meal because he tried to talk his own language with his fellow students. And nowadays, they're trying to revive the language and teach it, and it's almost hopeless now. So he went there until he was quite a young man. And most of the kids were just left at that school. But my dad told me that, oh, his aunt was very good to him. Said Easter time, said he didn't know what Easter was. The missionaries told him. His aunt would come over there in the wagon. Sometime in the winter time, Christmas time, she'd make another trip to the school and in the wagon. And he said it'd take her days and days to get to the school. But anyway, she loved him so that she wanted him home during the holidays, Easter and Christmas. And she said one time they couldn't cross a river. So they stayed all night on the riverbank. And said she sat there and kept a fire going all night and smoked her pipe. And next morning she thought of a way to cross this river with her horses. So she tied that rope through the wagon spokes and she crossed this river. And she got to the school and the wagon bed was all full of hay and buffalo hide skin. So she put my father and his sister in the wagon and covered them with buffalo hides. Said they really slept warm. And she said going back same way she tied the wagon wheels. And when she got on the other side of the river, she stayed overnight, made a huge bonfire. Said she sat there and smoked her pipe all night long. So I guess those old ladies in those days was quite rugged.
Could you tell of the journey from Kansas to Oklahoma?
Well, you see, our language is not a written language, and everything that's been told to me has been handed down to me through my mother and father, and they in turn through their parents, and so on down. And all the stories that's been told to me has been in that way. And they have told us stories about from this part of the country on westward. Some I don't like to talk about because we lived in fear of soldiers and other tribes. And I know one time, it was in the 1700s, they told me that the state of Pennsylvania paid a bounty for every Delaware Lenape skill. So we were constantly in afraid of soldiers and other tribes. And I've since checked source books and history books. Of course, history books don't mention that. But I've checked source books where I found out that was true. They did pay for bounty for our scalps. So they told me that, but I wanted to make sure that was so. So after we reached Kansas, my folks said, we thought we had a permanent home. We built our little cabins and started our little corn patches. And we thought, oh, they said they were happy. Now they've got a permanent home that no longer have to be pushed westward. So in 1867 was the last removal. Congress, I guess, saw fit to move us down further south. So my grandfather, Joseph Thompson, he was one of the delegates sent down to negotiate with the Cherokee chief so that we could buy our rights into the Cherokee country, what is now Oklahoma, northeast Oklahoma. And on the way down here, they told me stories about that, too. How the settlers didn't want us to stop and camp, and we couldn't camp just anywhere. So they didn't want us around. They said, move on. We don't want you to camp here. So when we did reach Oklahoma, some of them went eastward. We called those group, that group, the Christian Delawares, because they were singing Christian hymns. And my people was called the traditional Delawares because we had our thing weekend, our big house, church. Until finally then, some of the Indians too went down to Darko and mingled with the Kettos. So there's a lot of Delawares down there now that's half Delaware and half Keto.
I was curious about the relationship between the Delawares and the Lenapes, that they were really one and the same?
They were one and the same.
Right.
You know, you often hear the word Lenni Lenape.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lenape in itself means common or ordinary people. And Lenni also means common or ordinary. And when you say Lenni Lenape, you're only being repetitious. So it's better to just say Lenape.
but this eastern area, this was your heritage of your family.
Oh yes, this is
where
my ancestors came from. And when I'm in this area, I've been fortunate enough to come here in this area now about four times. And when I'm here, I feel peaceful, happy, because I feel that I'm in harmony with the spirits of my ancestors. And I do things secretly, of course, where we give tobacco smokes to the departed. And if I'm out somewhere, well, I'll always smoke, but I won't finish the smoke. I'll always put it down in the dirt and, you know, say something in my own language to the people that's going on. And that's the way I feel in this area. I feel sort of relaxed and quiet because I feel it. some of my people, my kinsmen, maybe walked around right here. Who knows?
Do you know where there are any burial grounds here?
Well, I was taken to some where they had old-time Indian names and some had Christian names. I guess a lot of them was baptized by the Moravian people. So they were given, you know, Christian names. And some had their Indian names on their tombstones. But we have our own markers at this day and age. The grave markers for a woman, is sort of like a square, like this, a cross. And there's paintings on this grave marker with what we call an online. And I guess the nearest I could get to that in English would be just Indian paint. And it has a significance. But we feel that this these paintings is where the soul will travel. And we, when we have our burials, a real typical Delaware, we put notches inside of both boxes, the outside casket and the inside. That too is greased with this oil paint, and we feel that the soul goes in and out. And this paint on this marker is a guide for them to travel around. And the men's marker is a straight stick about like so, with a diamond-like shape at the top. And it, too, is painted for the same purpose. And the Indian people, my people, that is, we believe there's two souls. The blood is one soul, and the soul soul is another soul. And the blood soul remains here upon this earth. And long ago, they were said to be the most powerful people, men, and they would meet up with this blood soul. It's been told to me through my people how these people would come across this blood soul. And every Indian, every Delaware, they don't believe in vomit. That's the last, usually the last request they make. They don't believe in it. But now the state law requires that in Oklahoma.
But not here, I don't.
I don't believe
so. Not here, no.
And that's way my mother's request. She did not want to be embalmed. So we try to carry out her wishes. But with my father, the law had already been passed. It's a requirement.
Do the Delawares practice cremation as well?
No, we're strongly against that. That fire has a special meaning for us. It's a spirit.
Can you tell us something about the attitude of the young Delawares regarding education and higher education, and what are they doing?
Well, there's a lot of them now. Of course, maybe they're a quarter, one-eighth Delaware. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of them studying nursing. And there's some, they're studying law. So there's quite a lot of the further education things that's been urged and pushed among us now by the younger people. Does anyone else have a question?
I wondered, is there any significant amount of your people, of your relatives, the descendants of Delawares in this area?
I would rather say no, because this has been, as I say, my fourth trip here, but I've never found any so far, thus far. So I don't believe there's any here. I was in Canada in 70 looking for people that spoke my language, but I didn't find them. They spoke what we call the Munsee, which is definitely not an Opic.
But how about the Tuscaroras? Was there any relationship between the Tuscaroras and
Not that I know of. We was pretty close with the Shawnee at one time in this area. Some of them traveled with us, I guess, westward, because there was a point somewhere where we call them Wenatcook. I don't know what you call them in English. Maybe Natticook. I don't know what you call them in English. But we referred to them as Wenatcook. They traveled with us. And somewhere along the way, well, we parted company. Some of them went north to Canada, and some went south. where we continued on westward. I know there's been stories handed down to me about these Neticocks. They was great on this witchcraft. And they said that the Delaware people learned their witchery or witchcraft from these Neticock people. And a lot of people want to laugh when you say witches, you know. But it must be true, because in the Bible, one of those old people, you know, consulted this witch of Endor. So what's in that Bible, one must believe. So I think they were witches. And it's been known among my tribe that there was witches that existed, that we learned from these Winnetcook people.
When I was a child in Michigan, there was an older Potawatomi man who talked about witchcraft in the Potawatomi tribe in Michigan. So I'm sure it was practiced there also.
Well, you know, in Ohio, they had somewhere in Ohio, way back during the 1700s. I'm just making a wild guess on a date, but it was told to me that they had a witch burning. And one of my kinswomen was burned innocently at this witch burning. They said that the baby started to die, and someone said, well, we must hold a council and see who these witches are. Well, I guess dislike is a strong thing. So they was disliking each other, these other, all these tribes, with these Neticocks and Delawares. Well, they point out someone, well, she's a witch, let's burn her. Well, he's a witch, let's burn him. So they burnt my kinswoman innocently, because they take him out in the woods, they say, and told him, if you'll give us your witch bundle, well, we won't burn you. And some of them would not give this witch bundle up. But this roam around, that expression remains yet with my tribe. Natamahuta. Natamahuta, you've heard that, haven't you? With which means in English, it was around here. It was around here. And they wouldn't find the witch bundle, and they tossed him into the blaze. And soon they said there was an earthquake. And the people all said, the Delaware said, well, that's the Creator. He sees us. He disapproves of our cruelty. And we must all try to pray, which they did. And it was some point where they tried to rebuild the Big House Church, what we call Inwood Town. But we was constantly being shoved and lived in fear and on the run, that we never had time, so the old people say, to actually build our church. But that was one event that was told to me was a true fact. They called her Galtas, and the people that I've seen since in archives, where she was called Caritas. See, we couldn't say that, so we just said Galtas. So that's supposedly an actual event.
Are the two colors on your leaves significant, on your dress?
Yes, there's quite an importance attached to red and black. You see, that's our colors that we use, and that's the colors of the what we call the Mithinholika. It's his face is in our church, and this Mithin is a guardian of the game animals. He's said to ride a deer. That's his means of transportation. He rides on a deer. And his face is half black and half red. And so in our church, there's his face inside 12. There's six on this side, six on this side, and two on the center post. It's a huge pillar, about 2 by 2, I would say. So all in all, there's 12 faces. But none outside. There was quite a controversy at home about some of the people had forgotten how many faces. They said, oh, there was faces outside. And what started that, well, there was a man in our tribe. Oh, he'd make things, miniature big house churches, and just to be decorative, well, he put these faces outside. And that started everything wrong. And when I was in New Jersey, well, I did see this little miniature thing we found with the faces outside. And you see, that just spreads everywhere. And that's why I like to say the truth when I talk the way it was told to me. I don't like to take away and I don't like to add on. So I try to be as near exact as I can be. And that's the reason for the red and black. His face was red and black, and his clothing is in the High Foundation now. I was fortunate enough to see this, the same, his regalia in the High Foundation. And my mother had a, what they call a, oh, some refers to it as a...